Good morning. So the theme for this week's sermon is God gives us peace. I don't know about you, but I think the concept of peace can be quite challenging to wrap our heads around, especially at this time of year. All the external chaos, the Christmas adverts, the shopping lists, and all the expectations. But for many of us, the chaos is more internal. We're dealing with grief or pain or isolation. And I think, you know, our feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel even greater at Christmas. Our society seems to tell us how Christmas should feel, and that can highlight the pain of loneliness just a bit more. So how, in the middle of all this external and internal chaos, can we prepare our hearts to receive the Prince of Peace? How can we experience the peace that he brings? Well, before we look at that, let's look at what peace really means. Those of you who listened to my sermon a few weeks ago on the Beatitudes might remember that I said that in the Bible, peace is more than the absence of war, and it's more than the absence of conflict or the presence of comfort. It's about loving relationships between people and families, communities, nations, and God's people. And it's the same here. The peace that Jesus brings is the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. And the word that the Old Testament uses for this peace is shalom. One theologian describes it like this: the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace, but it means far more than mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and saviour opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. So shalom opens up another dimension to peace: God. Peace starts in our relationship with God. And first and foremost, Jesus came so that we could have a right relationship with God. God chose to come as a refugee, to live in a broken world, and to allow himself to be killed so that through his death he could bring us life. God chose to do this through Jesus because he wants a restored and peaceful relationship with each one of us. If we look again at Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, we read some familiar words. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." The coming of Jesus, we're told, would have two great purposes: God's glory and our peace. Jesus will reveal the glory of God and also bring peace to God's people. First and foremost, God is glorified when Jesus is born. And second, peace will spread everywhere that Jesus is received. The peace of God can't be separated from God himself. If we want peace to rule in our lives, God must rule in our lives. The root problem behind our lack of peace is that our lives were created to revolve around God. God is the centre of everything. So we're engineered a bit like planets. The planets were designed to revolve around the sun, and we're designed to revolve around God. But instead, each one of us tends to live our lives as if we're at the centre. The key to experiencing God's peace is to keep together what the angels kept together: glory to God and peace to man. A heart set on showing glory to God will know the peace of God. And what holds these two things together? God getting glory and us getting peace is believing or trusting the promises of God. Romans 15 verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." In other words, the way God's promises become real for us and produce peace in us is through us believing. I don't know about you, but I see lots of Christmas cards and ornaments that read "peace on earth," but there is no peace on earth until people start living for God and his glory. If we go back to verse 14 again, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The Old King James Version translated the end of this verse as, "and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." But almost all modern translations agree that this wasn't really an accurate translation. The NIV says, "and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And the ESV says, "and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." The point is that God's offer of peace is available to all, but only his chosen people, people who believe in Jesus and trust him as their saviour and Lord, will experience the peace he brings. We get a glimpse of this if we look at Luke 10, when Jesus says to his disciples, "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." God's peace is offered to the world, but it's only those who believe in him and promote his peace that receive it. So Jesus came to bring peace, or shalom. And there are three relationships in which he wants us to promote and enjoy his peace. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others, as much as it lies with us. So let's look at each of these three relationships and see how we can experience the fullness of God's peace in our lives, especially at this Advent time as we prepare for Christmas. The most basic need we have is for peace with God. If we don't have this, then all other peace in our lives will be superficial and temporary. But when we realign with God at the centre, everything else gets realigned and we begin to experience the wholeness of shalom in our lives. As I've said, we receive God's peace when we believe and trust in him. So it's through faith. It's not through works, it's not through tradition, it's not through baptism, it's not through church membership, not through parentage, it's by faith, it's by believing alone. When we believe in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, we're united to him, and the result is peace with God. God's anger at us because of our sin is taken away, and God adopts us into his family. He's our Father and our friend. We don't need to be afraid anymore. He will never be against us, and we have peace in him. This week, let's try putting God at the centre of our lives. Let's focus our minds on God. Let's spend some quiet time in his presence. If we do, we'll have a greater sense of his peace and his provision. Let's remind ourselves of his promises. The Bible's full of God's promises, many of which involve granting us peace. Let's remind ourselves of them and trust that he will honour them. And let's meditate on God's word. The Bible is full of passages on peace. Let's spend some time meditating on some of those verses, such as Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 or Isaiah 55. And as we align our relationship with God, God's shalom continues throughout our relationship with ourselves. John 14 verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The picture here is that our hearts and minds are under assault. We face guilt and worries and threats and confusions, fears and uncertainties, and all of those threaten our peace. And Paul says God wants to guard our hearts and minds. He wants to guard them with his peace. He gives us this inexplicable supernatural peace. And he does it when we take our anxieties and our fears to him in prayer, and we trust that he will carry them for us and he will protect us. We need to remember that we already have peace in him. This week, let's take our anxieties to God. Let's tell them about them. Let's not dwell on the negative and scary situations in our lives. When we feel afraid, let's focus on God and let's remember his promise of peace. When we feel sad or low, let's remember that God promises us joy. Do you remember my advice a few weeks ago about avoiding the news? Let's avoid filling our thoughts and our minds with negative things and instead fill our hearts and our minds and our thoughts with God. And let's remember that prayer isn't a last resort. Let's not wait until we're anxious or scared or sad to pray for God's peace. Let's pray for it now. Let's ask him to protect us, to help us and to restore our sense of peace. And once we experience God's peace in our lives, let's ask him to use us to promote peace amongst others. The third relationship where God wants us to enjoy his peace is in our relationship with others. When we receive the shalom that Jesus brings into our lives, it spills out onto other people around us. You know those people who just walk into a room and the whole atmosphere of the room changes? Well, when Jesus stepped into a room, the atmosphere changed. It wasn't necessarily the words that he spoke, it was who he was. Jesus was so full of this peace, so full of shalom, that the whole universe adapts to his words and to his presence. Peace pours out of him. And that's the impact that shalom can have in our environments to the people around us, as we're filled with his peace. As we enter a room from a place of peace, then our words and our actions have more impact. But it's this relationship with others that we have least control over. So we also need to remember what Paul said in Romans 12, verse 18. It reads, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Most of us will have some awkward and painful relationships. Some of them are based on pain that is very old, but some on pain that's new. And in some relationships, we know what we need to do to repair things, no matter how hard that might be. But in others, we're baffled and perhaps we're not sure what we need to do. Whatever situation we face, the key is trusting God and his promises. As it says in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This week, let's remind ourselves that in spite of all our sins and all our failings and all our disobedience, God has forgiven us. And because of this, he has reconciled us to him, so we have peace with God. It's this sense of amazement that we have peace with God that makes us able to promote peace and offer forgiveness to others. It might be thrown back in our face, and that can hurt. But this week, let's remind ourselves that it's God's glory and our willingness to obey him that are important, not our effectiveness in promoting peace in our relationships. And if we remember this, we'll be like the angels declaring that giving glory to God in the highest is the first thing, and that peace among his people is the second thing. So before we close, I want us to take some time to reflect. Where do you need God's peace in your life this Advent? What stresses, what anxieties are you facing? What situations and relationships in your life cry out for God's peace, for his shalom? I want us to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to point out those areas in our lives where we need his peace. And let's ask him to show us what we can be doing this week to experience God's peace in our lives. So let's take some time now. Let me close in prayer. Father God, help us to remember that you are the source of all peace, and that without accepting you as our Lord and Saviour, we can't experience your true and lasting peace. Lord, we thank you for wanting peace and wanting to restore us into relationship with you. We thank you that you sent Jesus and made a way for that peace and that restored relationship to happen. Lord, at this Advent time, in the busyness and stress of our lives, help us to experience your peace. Help us to bring our fears and anxieties to you, and to grow within us the desire to become peacemakers, to break through the barriers that divide us, to strengthen the bonds of mutual love, to learn to understand one another, and to forgive those who have done us wrong. Lord, God of peace, we pray that you would give us your peace, your shalom, and that you would receive all the glory and honour that you deserve. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.